This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Andrew Reich. I am joined by Adam Murray. Adam, are you feeling the fever? The madness of March is almost gone.
This is your happy season.
Oh, yeah. March madness. It's a little exhausting, to be honest.
It's been a crazy season, or has it? So there's no number one seed left. Yeah, but was anybody really deserving of number one seed? Very weak.
The historical part of it is that there was no one seed that even made the Elite Eight, you know, and there were excuses, you know. Bill Self basically got a heart attack, you know, like, I mean, you're not going to coach that. What was the other one? Marcus Sasser for Houston.
He pulled his hamstring in the conference tournament.
I'm not trying to make excuses for these teams. Okay.
Purdue was terrible.
Purdue had the absolute an all time, like, fart of
but
a...
they weren't good to begin with, and you know we'll talk about the draft prospects.
How dare you say a one-seeded college basketball team is not good? That's real.
But nobody like UCLA had like was it their two top two or three best guys out, and they're still
That game against Gonzaga was great. Like that was actually good, like television watching it.
But there's nobody like.
I think you're just mad because former, you know, URI head coach Dan Hurley is now like doing great in
UConn. That was sort of the trendy pick going in of, oh, they're the hottest team and everyone had already sort of, not everyone, but they were a trendy pencil emerity in the Final Four because they're hot, they're good, they should do it. And yeah. It's kind of played out that way, but just from a draft perspective,
okay.
Nobody really showed out.
Like the show out guy was Marquise Noel. Is he going to be the point guard at Kansas State? Like, is he going to be like a top guy? And he may have played himself into being drafted, but I don't think he's like at that level. Anthony Black for Arkansas looked good. He might have played his way up. But yeah, I see your point. Like if you look, like Jarace Walker is another one for Houston that looked impressive. Like, I think the way he performed kind of cinched him into the lottery. But in terms, I mean, let's be real, Adam. Like, Brandon Miller could have, like, gone 0-for in all his games, and he probably still would be picked number 3.
Well, yeah, he'll be number 2 or number 3.
I mean, listen, we don't have to dive deep into it, but, like, I just didn't like the way Alabama as a school handled it. Like, I'm not saying shut him down for the season. Just be a little more transparent if your player is involved in a crime. That's all.
You know? Well, they were transparent. They're like...
They weren't. They let the police department testify about it.
Well, but after that, they basically said, look, what can we do? He wasn't charged with anything. Mm-hmm. What do you guys want us to do?
Did you like Nick Saban big-timing NATOs?
No, I don't like anything really Nick Saban does.
Saban basically tried to take him down a peg. Like, oh, yeah, you're number one in the country, huh? But remember, I'm the big cheese type of thing.
The same one who's complaining about how the NCAA is being ruined because, and we could touch upon that in a second, the NIL is killing the NCAA, which is true. And
yeah, I mean, it's making the rounds right now because of March Madness and also the new president. Who used to be I didn't know this until I read up on it. He was the governor of Boston or the governor of Massachusetts, I think, Charlie Baker. He is now basically trying to rally up legislation to try to like get all the NIL stuff organized in some way, shape, or form in a bill, which I mean, anytime you have to put your hands in Congress, you have to put your future in Congress's hands. It means you're going to die on a vine. But we'll see if Baker's can pull strings better than Mark Emmert.
But no, he does. Well, Mark Emmert just gave up. He was just like,
yeah,
I'm getting paid, so what's good? Baker knows it's a complete mess. He's trying. But I see their argument of it, which it's completely shady and you know, the NCAA deserves what they're getting. But
I mean, look at Miami. Miami, basically, a booster bought their team.
Yeah.
You know, Isaiah Wong and Nigel Pack, who were both very important to the team that made that run. Like, like they basically paid them. People knew how much money Nigel Pack made in the sponsorship.
Yep. And that's the thing is, well, now boosters are just giving money to the players directly, and they're not giving money to the schools. So therefore, we can't pay for all these other sports anymore. And, you know, let's just say, well, we're West Virginia. We joined the Big 12, so we have to send our women's lacrosse team all the way across country 3 times a week. And that gets pretty pricey because we had to be there. And, well, now you got the boosters aren't giving us our money, so now we can't pay.
I actually think that the Cinderella, Florida Atlantic, they had already agreed to leave CUSA. Am I right or wrong?
There's too many people leaving right now. The movement has started again with the surprise of now we're at UCLA and USC going to the
Big Ten. It still doesn't make sense.
Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC and the SEC with, you know,
it just means more.
Yeah, so all those teams have to be, you know, they're all cannibalizing the other ones. And UCLA, that's great. But, okay, again, your field hockey team now has to travel to play Rutgers in front of 4 people. That flight you had to pay for and all those scholarships. And, well, it's okay because, well, the boosters don't give us money anymore and we're poor. And but going, that's just...
I just read it up. The FAU is going in the American, which is where Houston is, but Houston is going to the Big 12. It's like really hard to keep track of stuff like that, you know.
It's all like, how is this school here anymore, and how is that school? And
the NBA side is hard to say. Like Ricky Council looks like an athlete. Sanogo for UConn, he might get drafted. The one who probably impressed the most, but their team got bounced in the second round. So no one really saw too much of him, is Jalen Hood-Scafino with Indiana. I think he might actually get picked in the first round now.
But you had Arkansas, who, you know, Nick Smith was supposed to be the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, within like the first week of the season, oh, he has a back or a leg injury? Like, we're going to shut him down for most of the year.
It was a shady knee injury where he was like, I need to manage it. And then he was back fully ready to go. And
well, they knew he was going to be in for the tournament, everything. Yeah. But it's just one of those, like, well, we need to load manage him. Like, well, that's not good for your career if they're already shutting you down in college.
I take one back. There was one guy who looked great. Jordan Hawkins at UConn is going to go pro for sure.
But if you're talking about Chris Murray being a late lottery pick,
I mean, Keegan's good, but he's hard having trouble getting playing time sometimes with the game.
No, he gets the minutes. He's not meant to do anything. You are just a gunner. You find your spot. We're not calling plays for you. Mm-hmm. Where everybody has, you know, we mentioned a segment. Everybody has your role. Look, you just be an energy guy. You will get points. But don't look for it. Just be the team player.
But that's the thing. There's such an imbalance right now with the tanking, and not necessarily that like more people are tanking or these teams are tanked so hard that there's no way of catching up. It's just this, that we talked about how the West is really eclectic and there's a lot of teams that aren't always in the hunt that seem to be pretty well suited to make a run now. It feels like a lot of these teams, like the Kings and the Nuggets and teams and it's definitely the Grizzlies, where they've drafted well over the years and it's all kind of coming to fruition. And when they make that run, it's almost like your mindset flips in the offseason of like, okay, we don't have to be obsessed with hitting a home run in the draft anymore, because we already got the consensus core that is going to get us there now that we've proven to the owner and to everybody that we can win games. So long story short, it feels like we have more playoff teams in the hunt, so there's less urgency to get it right in the draft. Does that make sense?
No, because all teams have just sort of gone with,
What I mean is, like, they feel like Keegan Murray was a good pick and it worked out in their rotation. So it's not like in the 2023 draft, the Kings are like, oh man, we need to get this one right too. Like, now I guess they feel comfortable is what I mean.
Well, they took Davion Mitchell, who
he's on the bench, but plays sometimes.
But they didn't need him. It was like, we had two point guards who can't really, we figured out they can't play together, more kind of. So let's put a third one in. Well, that doesn't make sense. Luckily, you know, with Keegan, this is a need. He can fit. We don't have to worry about taking Jaden Ivey where.
Ivey's got a future, though. He can get to the free throw line. He just has to limit the turnovers. If he can limit the turnovers, he's got a future.
He's a rookie, so he's all you can do is let him make these mistakes now as the team is bad. The same thing with, you know, James Wiseman. Get on the court. We don't care if you're not playing. You're going to learn. But just going back to the NCAA real.
Got it. Yeah.
And the tournament. So you've enjoyed it. Who do you think is going to take it? Is it UConn? Is that the safe bet you're going to go with?
You know, no matter what, UConn will be the night game, which is ironic because, like, you know, I did the thing with Mike Rossi, who's a UConn guy. He also does clotheslines and headlines for the wrestling side. It's going to happen at the same exact time as WrestleMania, which is on two-night event now. So it's a Saturday and a Sunday, which takes place in Los Angeles. So he's got a really tough choice to make. Like, what would you make the choice to do? Like a concert that you've been dying to go to, or like your favorite team's like big event?
I would just tape WrestleMania and watch it when I came back, and I'd wait because
that's what I did last year. Because remember Duke and North Carolina playing the Superdome? I watched that live, and then I watched WrestleMania later.
Because I don't want to say now because Twitter's a cesspool and
it's a cesspool. Yes.
But it's funny. All the talk over the past year. Oh, we're going to leave it. Yeah. Nobody left it. Everybody's still there saying how terrible it is, but you're still there. So I don't know. Maybe you should just shut up. But I have no problem not following the alerts anymore. Not keeping it. So, yeah, I would rather go watch my event because WrestleMania is going to be there and I could just watch it. Sports, I can't. Well, concerts are separate because that's an experience. And
yeah, like Taylor Swift just started her tour and like it like sold out in seconds. You know, so, you know, everyone's going, like, there are things that people still want to go to. There are still like shows that people like, you know, congregate to watch, you know, so there's like event television or like big things that people want to go to still. You know, I think they're kind of over the COVID side of things.
Sports, I can't watch on a DVR. I'll just be like, I don't care what happens.
Like, there's a magic to going to like for me, it's going to the sports book with my friends. There's a magic to being able to watch games like the NCAA tournament live. That's why I think their ratings on CBS and TBS have always been good. In fact, they're usually better than the NBA playoffs, you know,
because the playoffs are seven games and like just like hockey, it's the same thing. Game seven hockey is completely different. Yeah, because this is the one that matters. Oh, it's game three. It's tied 1-1.
The NBA has an inevitability to it. Like, even if the series is close, by the time you get to like the seventh or sixth game, you kind of have a feeling of where it's going to go.
But even just like any sporting event, I'm not going to watch. I'm not going to care until the last 5 minutes. Right. Oh, that was a great shot. Yeah, but it's 50-45. This means absolutely nothing, right?
What do you think? We talked about this. We talked about the points explosion in the regular season. Do you see any kind of like I don't have the postseason numbers in front of me for these for the NBA playoffs over the last few years. I'd say it's probably slightly up. Do you see some playoff games where it's just an absolute explosion of points? Or do you think it's going to get tight?
It's going to get tight because they're going to start playing defense and you're not going to see these 130s to 120s because it's going to start to matter.
But you have a lot of blood. Like, you got, like, that the number one offense, Kings, who haven't been there, and you got, you know, the Nuggets, who are a top seed, so they're sort of in the catbird seat. So maybe they'll be feeling like they need to blow people out. The Suns will be able to maybe blow some teams out if they have everybody healthy, you know, like.
But that's always been the case.
It's going to be an interesting playoff, I'll say that for sure.
So let's just, again, go back to the draft talk. And now that, you know, ping pong balls are sort of being lined up. Is this really Oklahoma City's for the taking? Now, I sort of threw this out to you via text, and you're like, you know what? I don't know about this now. So what if Oklahoma City has so many picks? What if they just say to anybody, look, here are six first-round picks. You pick any of our six. No protections. They're all yours for Wembanyama.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do?
Like a Godfather offer.
Yeah, because Oklahoma City can do it. They have, again, everybody's first.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, I can deep dive you like the ones that they have, you know. We would probably be talking for 10 more minutes. They own Oklahoma City. Like they have the Clippers pick from the Paul George deal. They got one from, I believe, Philly. Because they gave it to him because of Al Horford, which got turned to the Nets. Like, it's kind of crazy how many picks they have.
Yeah, so if they just said, here's, take any six, any years, we don't care. Or even they just said, okay, let's just say they got the second or third pick. Mm-hmm. And they said, all right, number two, we'll trade this Godfather offer for the number two pick. So they go, okay, let's just, for schnitz and giggle, let's just say Charlotte has the number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you, again, more Godfathers, if you went to Charlotte and said, all right, six number one picks and our number three, who would they say no?
You got me thinking when you said that about Charlotte. Maybe the conspiracy theory I can go with is that Charlotte will get the number one pick to try to convince Michael Jordan not to sell this.
Okay, fine. Portland, then.
Portland is trying to sell. Jody Allen is trying to sell it.
Motherfucker. All right. San Antonio gets it.
Well, that's a real possibility.
So say
Oklahoma City goes to the Spurs and says.
Six picks.
We'll give you the Houston 24. We'll give you our own 23, and we'll give you I would still say no because Wembanyama might be that important to whoever gets him.
All right, let's just say they have number three pick, and they go, all right, we'll trade for the number two pick.
Jesus Christ, Adam! I mean, if you keep adding on the picks, you're gonna have to. The problem is that you can't give away, because of the Stipe rule, you can't do it. Like, you gotta do swaps in between.
No, I'm just saying, they made the deal, let's just say, the number two team. Okay, Wembanyama for the number two and three pick. Henderson and Scoot and Miller for Wembanyama. What would you do?
Like, yeah, if Oklahoma City was in a situation where they had two and three this time, which I don't think they will,
No, they traded for number two. They got the number three pick. Mm-hmm. We'll just say Detroit had number two, and they said, here's some sort of Godfather offer for you.
And then
for your number
it.
Two pick.
Gotcha. I mean, I would just.
And then you go to the number one team. Here you go. The number two and three pick in this year's draft for number one. Yeah. Would you turn it down?
Scoot, I mean, Henderson? Aren't we about to have an NFL draft where the number one team was literally trying to give away, like, not give away, but they were like, we do not want to pick number one. We'll rather get the assets.
No, Chicago was just like, yeah, we're very wishy-washy.
Okay.
And then in came Charlotte or Carolina with just, here we go. Here's a crazy deal that we're going to overbid
And we've talked about this before. The NFL, the draft situation and cap situation with the NFL is just so different from the NBA.
But there was
the NBA, it's so singular-minded. If you get a Scoot Henderson, if you get a Wembanyama, it can change your entire franchise. It can change.
But, okay, Wembanyama for Miller and Scoot. Would you do it?
Wembanyama. I'll still take him. I'll take the French guy. I'm big on French guys right now.
I'm just no comment on that.
Let me ask you this one, super random. What if the Wolves make a run? Like, does this sort of make the Rudy Gobert deal like, haha, told you it worked? Can they say that?
No, because they have to win it all, and
mm-hmm.
That's sort of the you know, making it to the playoffs, which they haven't done. And then, okay, they got to the second round.
Because that's part of this whole thing, because Utah's got theirs. You know,
it's all 5 years down the road, and it's not going to matter because, okay, I mentioned, you know, all this time, you have all these draft picks. Okay, you can't draft 30 players to your team.
Yeah.
So you have to get rid of them. As we mentioned, you know, this year, let's just say Oklahoma City gets 3. Okay, mm-hmm. You get Miller. What happens to Lou Dort money? You're paying a guy $85 million?
They took enough bites. You just get enough bites of the apple until you find a core that works. Like, the Thunder are better than expected because they have SGA. Jalen Williams was a good pick. Josh Giddey was a good pick after all. You know, Philadelphia was kind of weird. It was a little weirder because what happened with them was they did have decent small pickups, but it was really Simmons and Embiid hitting hard that really got him going, you know.
Yeah.
I just feel like if you have enough bites at the end, long story short, if you have enough picks, you can just use as much of them no matter whether the fit is good or bad or not. And if you get a nucleus that finally works down the road, it was worth all the bites at the apple. That is what I would say.
But let's just like review back to the Warriors. They took Wiseman over LaMelo. Would LaMelo have ever played on that team?
I'm going to be honest. I think they threw away that pick on purpose because they didn't want to be forced to rookie max a guy later. I really do. I think they just picked a guy because they were told consensus that's the guy and they didn't believe in him.
Well, they didn't believe him in
if that's the case, they should have just traded the pick.
Kind of. And they didn't want to develop him and didn't want to put time in for it. But just, okay, so you got LaMelo. Where is he playing behind? You got Steph, Clay, and Wiggins. All playing 35 minutes. Where is this kid? You know, Jordan Poole was the sixth man. So Jordan Poole gets shipped out.
Yeah.
So you can be like, they would have had him. Yeah, but you wouldn't have this team that you currently have. You have to get rid of players because of it. And look at the Celtics. Remember, they're their whole stockpiling of draft picks. And then, well, you need to hit on your picks. Okay, you got Romeo Langford and you got Nesmith.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where are they going to play behind Tatum and Brown? Well, they're stuck getting minutes, and
yeah,
well,
that's
they have to ship them out because there's no room. And that's like I said. So, you have any comments before I?
Well, I did want to ask you, as you're in the Boston neck of the woods, are you worried about this Jaylen Brown? I almost got traded. Talk that he's been doing lately. Does it sound like sour grapes?
Kind of, but Mikal Bridges sort of said it best. I could be sour grapes. I got traded, but it's for Durant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just like, hey, I would do that deal too, because that's Kevin Durant. Jalen Brown's just like, why would they want to trade me?
I just find it funny that Jalen did that podcast and he was just being very honest. Like, Jalen Brown seems like a legitimately smart, intelligent, well-educated guy.
Extremely is. And
like, kind of like
Malcolm wrong Brogdon, to say in your mind, but
that's why they nicknamed Malcolm Brogdon the president, because he was like so well spoken and just seemed to always.
He was a speech major in college or something.
Yeah, at Virginia.
Down in Virginia.
And so, I'm not trying to compare apples to oranges. What it is that my whole reason for saying that, Adam, is that the moment that podcast came out, GMs were calling, hey, does Jaylen Brown want to get traded? No! Fuck no! Like, of course they have two guys that are going to win them a title eventually. They're not going to trade them.
Of course you're going to be upset you're going to be traded, but it's a business. When you had, don't forget, they tried to trade Marcus Smart straight up for Nerlens Noel.
Yeah.
Like, after Marcus's rookie year.
I know we're getting off topic. Is that veteran Supermax available for Jaylen? Do you think he can get all NBA?
No, not with Tatum.
But even if you're third team, if he makes third team, he could still do it.
That's rough. That has to be.
I mean, that's another discussion. We could do that later. But like, it's hard. It's hard to make all NBA right now. It's hard. Okay.
We have continued to be tangents here. Let's just get back to my original point.
Yes.
Draft lottery nightmares.
Okay.
Now. Yeah, it'd be great if you get you get Wembanyama, but is it sort of a worst case scenario for Houston? You put all your future in Jabari Smith, who hasn't been that good, and you have Sengun, who looks really good. One of those guys got to go. with Wembanyama coming
then
in.
Then you eventually trade Jabari Smith Jr. to the same way that the Warriors did with Wiseman. That's what you did.
But Wiseman wasn't even, you know, that was the Darko. We're not, you know, training him. We're not.
Adam, like these teams feel like these pieces, quote unquote, are more expendable than people think. And they are more lenient. They are more like singularly minded on the hits. So if they get a hit, like if they get number one and get Wembanyama, or if they get number two and they get Scoot Henderson, then Jalen Green's out, man. Like I just feel like it's fair. It's more simple than people. It's easier to explain than people think. Like a lot of people are trying to make it like it's chess and it's actually checkers.
But it's just. Like the Philly thing where, oh my God, we got Embiid. Yeah, but you had to go through Nerlens. You had to go through Jahlil Okafor. You had to go through all these misses.
Yes.
So it just it underscores everything you've been trying to do and trying to build something. Cause then once you get, once you get Embiid, oh, well, we're going to trade for all veterans. And
that's why having draft classes comes back to get you. It almost got Boston, but they were able to flip it to Derek White. So I actually kind of applaud him for that one. But like the Warriors, you made that point. Like Jordan Poole was a good one. You know, there was a couple other draft picks that they had on the lower end that kind of worked out for him. But yeah, like they had a couple that didn't hit at all. Like, so what would Jacob Evans, you know?
Oh yeah. There's it's just, you go back to all the misses that Phoenix had.
Like, you know, Chicago, people can crap all over them. You know, Kobe White has actually kind of mustered up a good year. And Ayo Dosunmu gave them a guard when Lonzo Ball basically became a shell of himself, you know?
Well, yeah, he's serviceable. But, you know, yeah, Phoenix and all there. Marquise Chris, Josh Jackson.
I feel, and then they decided to do the whole, let's just throw the kitchen sink to get Durant deal, you know?
Yeah. So like, you know, again, now, you know, just moving on. Like, what would happen to Detroit if they get Scoot? Well, you got Cade Cunningham. What a fuck. You put all your stock into him. Now he gets shipped out and
they'll get a coach that can make it work with those two guards.
And then what happens to Jaden Ivey?
You trade Jaden Ivey if he doesn't, if he's not an efficient player down the road.
The thing is, you start getting this, you know, like Atlanta every year, they used to draft the same position, the Hawks. And then you have, you know, the Kings that we mentioned last episode. They got 3 point guards in 3 consecutive years. And it's just like, well,
and they got 2 all-stars. The problem is they didn't work together. That's the problem.
Yeah. So it's very hard. So it's just like, yeah, it's a weak draft class. But does anyone even care anymore?
Not if it depends on the top. If the top winds up being like really exciting, like that's going to happen with the sweepstakes for Wembanyama. That's why I think people will pay very close attention to the draft lottery this year when it happens during the conference finals again. Like if it's very, if there's somebody that everyone's gunning for, that's all that matters. Like the other stuff, the agents are going to start making the rounds and trying to talk people into like, whoever is hot from the tournament or whoever, like the Thompson twins from Overtime Elite, then you're going to start hearing that buzz come out through the rounds and it starts to create buzz for the draft. Like, oh, it's exciting. Oh, it's this class. At the end of the day, Adam, it's the top guys. Like if the top guys are game changing players, then it's going to be exciting and everyone's going to be hopping in on it. I feel like this is sort of in the vein of 2019 with Zion and Ja, where it's like, okay, those two are going to make, talk about Henderson and Wembanyama. Those are the ones that are going to make it happen.
So we will end it with this quick sort of prop question for the draft lottery super early. We're going to lock you in.
Okay.
Will it be a fake tanking team who gets the number one pick, or will it be a legitimately bad team who hasn't? Like, example, we all know Oklahoma City's and the draft balls will get as much as we can. Houston with the get as much as we can. Mm-hmm. Whereas you have San Antonio. Oh, no, we're just bad.
Are you asking me to predict ping pong balls?
Isn't it any different than predicting, you know, you're the NCAA champion?
No, they've explained how it works and it's I'm being honest now. It's impossible to rig. But I get your point. Like, I get your point.
No, who's it going to be? Is it going to be like a team that played and was not good, or is it be a team that traded everything and gutted their team for picks?
I'm going to be basic, Adam. I think it's San Antonio.
So, no, you're on team San Antonio.
This is the third freaking time in the last generation that San Antonio basically crapped the bed for a year, and they got the big man of their franchise for the next 10 or 15 years. They're going to do it again. They did it with David Robinson. That. They did it with Tim Duncan. They're going to do it again.
If they're rigging, I wouldn't mind them give it to like a team who doesn't get it. They'll give it to the same teams that are in there every year.
Mm-hmm. Well, remember, Adam, if the Spurs never did that in 1997, Tim Duncan would have been a Celtic.
Yeah, I know. why do that? You could get Ron Mercer and...
I mean, listen, New Orleans, we got lucky. We got Anthony Davis one time, and then we got Zion another time. Like, you know, it's you need a little luck. It's like, you know, they say you need some luck to win a title. You need a lot of luck to win the draft.
It's still, you can either get Anthony Edwards, or you could get James Wiseman, or you can get Kevin Durant, or you could get Greg Oden.
Yeah, you can get James Harden, or you can get Hashim to beat. Which one do you want?
Yeah, so it's Peyton Manning or Ryan Leaf or the two QBs. There's like four QBs this year.
Yeah, a lot of sliding doors, a lot of NBA draft lottery sliding doors.
But you've been enjoying the NCAA. You're glad it's back. It's been good, been fun. It's not going to suck in like the finals always do because it's a big, huge arena and nobody can shoot.
I had my best bracket ever.
All right.
I had three of the final four.
Okay. Well, sir, you have a good one.
Take care.
For Andrew Reach, I'm Adam Murray.